Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Happy Friday, everybody. Kelly Kirsch along with you. An hour of hockey talk on a busy Friday here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We've got Eric Francis Fridays coming up at 12:30. We'll do that for the Beltliner. But first, I'll tell you, it's a game day. Flames and Boston Bruins. The Bruins are in the news already on the trade front. Let's get to a busy Peter Labardius.
Flames insider Peter Labardius, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
It's one of those weird parts of the schedule, Peter. The Flames play on holiday Monday, and then it's a bit of a waiting game. But tonight is a huge game as the Flames take on the Boston Bruins and then hit the road for five straight. This is, it's crunch time for sure, but I guess maybe off the top, Riley, can you just give us the trade? Because it just broke just about half an hour ago as the Boston Bruins did a bit of a trade, and we'll get Lou's response to that. So just the particulars for anybody who missed it in trending now.
All right, the Bruins get forward Andre Kasha from the Ducks in exchange for David Backes, prospect Axel Anderson, and a 2020 first-round pick. And the Bruins are going to retain 25% of Backes' salary.
We heard Kasha's name quite a bit, even with the Flames a little bit. Some, people, speculating. But give me your thoughts on what the Bruins are doing. It's not Chris Kreider going so far.
No.
It's somebody else. Give me your thoughts on what just happened.
Well, I think he, when healthy, has demonstrated the youngster from the Czech Republic that he's a really good player. I'm a big fan. In fact, the first time I ever saw him, Kelly, was right here in Calgary when he played for Homotov at the Max Midget Tournament, which is now several years ago. Good skater, smart, sees the game really well, not afraid to go to difficult areas. He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And he has been a very effective player almost each and every time that I have watched, especially in person. He's had some very, very good games. And when I take a look at the Bruins lineup and where he might fit, he might be, when he's up to speed, a great addition for, your second line, if you will, with Krejci and DeBrusk. And then to throw Kasha on the right side of that, or, I see him as being an excellent top six or top nine. And if he can ever stay healthy, I think it's a great fit. He's at a great age. David Backes' time, it obviously come to an end. So, they're not going to miss a lot there at this point. And as far as Axel Anderson is concerned, have watched him internationally. I think there's an opportunity for him in the future, to be a part of an Anaheim team that, for years and years, for Anaheim, the prospect pool was deep, especially on defense. So we'll see, where it goes. I think it's a really, really good fit if he can find his way back to good health. I think it's a good ad for the Bruins. I really do.
Yeah, he's had all kinds of injuries, so that is
he
obviously
sure has.
They would have really thought hard before they did that.
And ones to, anytime you talk about above the shoulders,
yep.
That's always interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got a game tonight, and we wanted to get people updated on what's happening with the Flames. You've got news on who's going to start in goal and maybe a few other tidbits.
Yeah, Cam Talbot's going to start in goal. So that is not surprising. Cam's really had a great stretch as of late and felt bad for him against Anaheim on Monday, especially with 3.5 seconds left when, the fourth one goes in, which doesn't always help your numbers. But, even if you do look at Cam's numbers straight up, he's 500. Earlier in the year, he didn't receive a lot of run support, 277 and a 917. So he has really provided this team with great stability in the goaltending department. David Rittich, who my guess is we could very likely see come Sunday in Detroit, maybe has fallen off a little bit. Cam has played some really, really good hockey all year long. He's played well in this building. So, not surprised to see him between the pipes again. He's more than warranted it with his work. The other thing from this morning was we knew that Mark Giordano had skated on his own the last couple of days. Now, he's not ready to play, and I'm not sure when he's going to be ready to play, but, you know, during the optional skate and going through drills and even some battle drills, you know, the captain showed well today. So ahead of schedule, by the looks of things, they're not going to take any chances with him, but he's farther along than I ever thought he might be at this point. Understanding that, does that mean Sunday? Does that mean next Tuesday? Now, though, I really, guys, wondered, you know, this is an interesting time of year. So I'm not going to suggest that, you know, people play games, but, you know, there's always a lot that goes into trying to make trades. And I now truly believe that he's not only going to make the trip, I think there's a chance he could play on the trip.
Wow. That, I mean,
later, probably, yeah. Later rather than sooner. Yeah. You know, I could see, you know, Nashville or Tampa a week from Saturday would probably be an early guess, but I'm just guessing.
And that's pretty cool considering what we thought it was going to be. But he's made a lot of people think twice because of just, you know, not drafted, you know, all the things, his age, his health, the way he, you know, comes back, his, you know, best season offensively last year. I mean, so nothing really should surprise us about the captain, right?
No, because of how he takes care of himself. And, you know, some players are nagged by a lot of injuries and they're not always fast healers. But, you know, the reason he's been able to do what he's done and have his best year in the league at 35 being last season is, you know, how he trains, how he takes care of himself. You're not at the top of the fitness list every single year for years and years if you don't put in that type of work. So when he went down, the one thing you knew is he was going to do what he always does. That's the work. And when you put the work in and good work in, you know, you need some help when it comes to medical situations. But I could tell, I saw him at the poker tournament, talked about it yesterday, and there was enough of a gleam in his eye that I thought, okay, maybe this is a little closer. Yeah. So we'll see where it goes.
All right. We teased it yesterday, didn't get a chance because we went down a couple rabbit holes, but that's okay. That's what we do on this segment. Sam Bennett, we wanted to talk about him, how he has he's had a really nice February so far and, you know, had a little sickness in there too. But I'll tell you, he is, you know, we've talked about him a lot, haven't we, Lou? You know, we've talked about, you know, the high draft pick and what kind of player is he. We talked about how great he is in the playoffs, and we need lots of guys to play like the way he does. But we always knew the offensive gift was there, and he's been rewarded. You know, it's been neat to see. You just want to see more of it, I guess, right?
Well, you know, offensive gift is, you know, an interesting phrase. So he has half as many goals in five games as he has in the rest of the season. He has 8. Moved to center the last couple of games with Derek Ryan's illness, has scored 3 goals in the last 2 games. And I truly believe in the case of Sam, who, Kelly, isn't it hard to believe he's only 23? It seems like he's been here forever, and he kind of has been. You know, when you break into the league late in your 18-year-old season, when he came up and joined the team, you know, late in that particular campaign, he's been around for a long time. And I've always felt with Sam that, you know, Sam has great ability in so many different ways. He's an incredible skater. He's physical. And when Sam feels good about himself and is producing, he's not unlike anybody else. I think Sam's internal struggle has always been about one thing. It's been hard for him to understand that he hasn't been more productive, especially coming out of his first season when he was 18 and 18 for 36. But, you know, he's been a very good player the last few games. He's producing. And I asked him today, what has, if there has been a major difference as to why you're playing better? And here was his answer.
I think opportunity's a big thing. It's all about trying to take advantage of it when you get it, and you know, I'm enjoying playing center right now. So a little combination of that, and then once the confidence gets going, it makes it a lot easier.
It does, right? Confidence.
It's,
you know,
everything.
Just keeps rolling along, and you say, hey, I did it last game, so let's do it this game.
And again, for him, when he starts to feel like he's making a difference, like everybody else, I think it is. It's been very hard for him to not marry those two things together. I don't, you know, for some players at a certain point, maybe it's easier when you're not producing to still feel like you're making an impact. But I think it's harder for Sam, and I understand why. He's been, you know, an elite-level talent. It's the reason he was selected fourth overall way back when. But it's a great sign for this team that, frankly, is winning some games based a lot on their depth. You know, Sam has been producing, you know, Mark Jankowski has 5 goals, didn't have a goal for 38, has 5 goals now in his last 9. And, you know, this is the time of year that you need advantages from a lot of different places. The other thing about Sam that I've really enjoyed watching is for a guy who's played center, but not a lot of center, Kelly, he wins some faceoffs too. And that never hurts either. So, you know, it's a good story. We'll see if he's back with Dubé and Lucic tonight. I would fully expect that to be the case. We don't know yet about Derek Ryan game time. I have a sneaking suspicion if there's any way you can find a way for Derek Ryan tonight, I just don't know how you don't. You're facing a Bruins team that has an elite power play despite their 0-for-7 performance in their overtime win a couple of days ago in Edmonton. You know, he has been one of the more consistent people in a year where consistency is always brought up and not necessarily on the right side of the equation. So, you know, we'll see. We'll probably have to wait till 6:30 to know for sure. But I have a sneaking suspicion if there's any way he's in tonight.
The Boston Bruins are here tonight for Friday Night Hockey. We start our coverage at 6 o'clock with Flames warm-up. And play-by-play with Derek and Peter goes at 7. Yes, it's the Boston Bruins. And yes, we'll get a lot of the Bruins in the next, oh, no, 5 days or something
sure
like
will.
That. As, it'll be a return trip next week, part of that 5-game road trip for the Calgary Flames. And, you know, we've been talking about it. I heard Ryan and Pat talk about it and the guys this morning for sure. I mean, there's lots of praise for this Boston Bruins team. They play the game the right way. They don't take nights off usually. They kind of have just about everything you need. That's why they just about won the Stanley Cup last year. But I guess the big thing is everyone talks about their big line, right? The one that that scares everybody. So, but you got to figure out a way to, you know, it's your house. It's your Saddle Dome. You got to figure that out, right?
Kelly, you know what the nickname of that line is? Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak?
Yes.
The perfection line.
Perfection line.
Well, you know, that's pretty high praise.
It's not the so-so or sometimes line,
no,
right?
No, it's not the sometimes line.
That's a different line.
No, that's a very different line, and they're as good a line as there is in the National Hockey League. They have every component, and it starts for me in the middle. It starts for me with, I think, the most intelligent hockey player at forward in the business, and that's Patrice Bergeron. And, you know, he's 34 years of age all of a sudden. It seems like yesterday since I watched him star for Canada in the 2005 World Junior Championship, where he led that great team in Grand Forks.
That team was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable, and he led everybody, Crosby, all those, Perry, Getzlaff, Carter, that great group. The best guy in the event for me, period, end of story, was Patrice Bergeron at 13 points and has had an amazing NHL career. He's back up to 27 goals. You know, he comes into tonight having scored goals in 4 straight games. And no one on the team outside of the coach knows him better than Milan Lucic. And he understands it starts there. But listen to what he says makes Patrice Bergeron and then the rest of that line so, so good.
I think what makes Bergie such a special player is, you know, is he's so great on both sides of the puck, and I think it's his defensive game that allows him to play in the offensive zone, because he's not, like I said, he's not trading chances. He's always, you know, in the right spot at the right times. He wins faceoffs and all that type of stuff. And then you add Marchand and Pasternak with it, and it just, you know, I heard a lot of people call it the perfection line, and you know, it just makes it that much more dynamic with the skill set those two provide to it.
Yeah, that's going to be job number one for the guys tonight. Obviously, you got to shut that line down, otherwise it's going to be tough going. But they have been shut down in the past, although they're rolling right now. So what is the key to kind of slow those guys down, do you think, Lou?
Well, you're going to do it probably with more than just one group, and that will be the interesting part of the matchup game tonight. I would suggest that, you know, they're going to see quite a bit of the Backlund line. You're likely to see a lot of Hanifin and Anderson against them. You know, when I talked to Jeff recently about matching up, you know, he felt like at times at home that maybe they played the match game too much. Kelly, the line I think is going to be incredibly important for the Calgary Flames tonight, and that's not to suggest that it's going to be a lot of head-to-head. This is a big night for the Monahan line. Now, a lot of comparisons have been made, and I might have been part of, you know, starting some of that with Elias Lindholm, who's not going to play center tonight, you know, being Bergeron light. But that line, which I did not think was at its best, and they're still fighting as a group, especially Monahan and Gaudreau, to really, really always affect games in a positive nature. If it's going to be a lot of Backlund's line up against the Bergeron line, and wouldn't even be surprised if you see Sam Bennett in that group up against them, then, you know, it is vitally important, and it's not an easy matchup either. That's the thing about the Bruins. You know, in that clip, if it rolled on longer, David Krejci is a very underappreciated center. He's always plus. He's always in and around that 70-point plateau, you know, and he's always been great at playoff time. So, you know, there could be a matchup, a lot of the Monahan line potentially against Krejci and DeBrusque. So lots of interesting matchups tonight, and there's just, for me, it feels like that line has got to be on the right side of it tonight in order for this group to win. And why I say that, Kelly, is if you find a way to be even with the Bergeron line, then that's a win.
Yeah. Like your
that's
chances then, yeah.
That's a win against the Bruins. But you can't discount their other groups and how they defend because they do that well. Their special teams at number two on the power play and three on the penalty kill are as good as any. It's one of the reasons that they're 38, 11, and 12. This is a great test, and it's going to require everyone, and it's going to require an elite performance to get it done. But I will say this. Without a lot of key people, the Edmonton Oilers gave the Boston Bruins all they could handle the other night, and they did it because their structure, their work, and their defensive detail was excellent. That is going to be at the forefront tonight for the Calgary Flames.
We'll find out tonight. Pre-game goes at 6, play-by-play 7, Flames and Boston Bruins right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. It's Friday. It's time for Lou's Mailbag.
Lou's Mailbag, brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, your private dining destination. Do business across the dinner table, not the conference table. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Got a different kind of question for Lou this time, so we're going to have some fun with this one. Brian Bullock writes in, he's going to go see the Flames take on the Columbus Blue Jackets on the 4th of March. And he also gets a $100 gift card to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You were there earlier this week.
I was.
You
never
know what you
speak. Disappointed. Never leave hungry. Well, you know, unless you're not a fan of great food, then I don't suggest the place.
Yeah, or great service, that kind of stuff.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, it's not for you then, but if you like that, then you're going to be just fine. The question reads, lately the Calgary Flames have been getting roasted in the media. He's a frustrated fan. He doesn't like it. My question is, does this have an impact on the players? They can't love it, but do you see it much change in performance? And We've talked about
That's
this a little
question.
Bit, you know, because I think people always wonder, like, do the guys listen? Do they care? The one thing, you know, here's me answering your question, but the one thing I want you to kind of ask or talk about is my experience is it's usually not the player that hears something from us or from somebody else. It's like the third person has talked about this, and by the time it gets back to us, it's like, we didn't say that at all. But I'm just wondering, because you're with it, you're with the players all the time, but you're with the other media members all the time, and you certainly talk to the fans a whole bunch. Where do you come out on this whole thing? It's a hockey market. Lots of hockey fans, obviously. They get pretty passionate.
Well, you can't block out all of it. It's impossible because look at our radio station. It's nonstop. So anytime you tune in, most parts of the day, you're going to hear about the Calgary Flames, especially in season. So you can't get away from it. I would answer the question this way, Kelly. I think each and every individual is different. I think there's some guys who, my guess is, hear a lot and, you know, are interested, and it's part of their DNA. I think there's other guys on the team who don't pay a lot of attention at all. And sometimes to the point where, you know, you wonder what they know, or you wonder if they even sometimes know who is saying what is being said about them. And that sounds crass, but I believe that to be the case. Now, your point's a great one. And that's the point about, well, if they don't hear it directly, somewhere, somehow, somebody's in the mix. An agent's in the mix. Parents are in the mix. Friends are in the mix. Because most people can't stay away. You can't. The hard part is, and I say this even about people in our business, and is it easy? Bottom line is, I don't care who you are. Nobody likes to hear bad stuff or written stuff that they don't like about them. I've been doing this a long time. Do I like it? No. Do I always understand who and what the source is? Yes. And then what I always think about is this. If you are going to go into those social media places for the good stuff, then you better be prepared for some of the bad stuff. And I always think the best way to counter it is, for every great thing, the problem becomes, Kelly, for most of us, the bad stuff always feels worse than the good stuff feels good.
Yep.
And that's the part that's difficult to manage. So, you know, more often than not, I would suggest that the more you can block out the noise, the better off you are. But in a Canadian market like this one, there's noise. There's always going to be noise. And I do think in some cases it has a very, very big effect on certain individuals. And I get why it does.
And I can guarantee you that between now and 1 o'clock Calgary time, all the guys will have, you know, one of the networks, one of the sports networks on. If failing that, they will certainly be locked on Twitter. And they will find out what's going on, because it's an interesting time for sure this time. So it's a great question. That is from Brian Bullock.
It is a great question.
So he's off to go see the Flames and Columbus Blue Jackets. He's got a pair of lower bowl tickets, and he's also going to go have dinner beforehand at Ruth Chris Steakhouse with a $100 gift card. That's Lou's Mailbag.
Lou's Mailbag, brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Making celebrations unforgettable is one of their many specialties. You bring the occasion, they'll bring the perfection. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
Flames and Bruins tonight. I do want to get a question in. We've got a couple things going on with the Western Hockey League. First of all, the Hitmen keep rolling through BC. They're going to try to get another one against Vancouver. So that's kind of a cool game. It's too bad it goes up against the Flames game tonight, because I think it'd be really, really neat to see those teams go head to head and see what the deal is, but we'll find out about that. But also stuff in Kelowna too. Were you a little surprised? The team that's hosting the Memorial Cup firing their coach.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
I was. It's been a really tough year for the Kelowna Rockets. They've had massive injuries to some of their best players. Kelly, what people don't realize is being the host team of a Memorial Cup puts incredible pressure on your organization. Kelowna has been one of the, you know, best franchises in the league for a long time. But are you properly set up to be in that position? And you know, when you take a look at teams' rosters in the offseason, you know, it didn't take a lot to understand that Bruce Hamilton and his group and his head scout, Lauren Fry, is the creme de la creme and has been for a long, long time, that whenever you're in that position, if you have to make a lot of big changes, I don't think that's ever a good thing. You know, if you have to tweak and you're in a cycle where, you know, you have great 19-year-olds and you make some adds and it all comes together, it's a lot easier. And I felt that they were a little farther away going into the season than they wanted to be. But, you know, I was. I was very surprised when they let Adam Foote go the other day. And it's not been a good season. And there's been people who have even talked about, you know, should it get moved to Kamloops, where the Blazers, you know, they tried and applied for it. They didn't get it. They are in a great window. They do lead the BC division. But the counter I've had when I've been asked the question in a couple of different places is it's also hard to assess the Rockets right now because they have so many injuries and have to key people. So
yeah, okay.
We'll keep an eye on it.
It seemed really strange with
it does.
And you know, your son's the captain. It's like, yeah just
he's
got
a
fired.
World-class player, yeah. But he's also been hurt.
Yeah, so crazy stuff. Anyway, so that, and by the way, we'll have the Hitman Kamloops Blazers game tomorrow night with a full pregame show at 7 o'clock. Lou, we ran overtime again. Looking forward to tonight's game. We'll check you out at 6 o'clock with Pat, and then you and Derek will have the call at 7. And then Monday, I don't know how many times we're going to have. I got your little room ready to go. So
I hear,
you know,
that. I hear that.
You're going to be set up in a nice little, you know, kind of one of the rooms where they have, like, you know, seminars on real estate and stuff, but it's just going to be you and Derek, and who knows what's going to happen on Monday, right?
Well, it's we're going to see. I think something's going to pop. I don't know to what extent, but I think there will be something that occurs Calgary Flames oriented between now and Monday. It's been really hard to read exactly what it might be, and my guess is even the people trying to get it done, it's really hard to read as of this very second.
Okay. Well,
okay.
We'll see what happens. Thanks
Have
so
a
much.
Great weekend.
We will talk on Monday.
Bye-bye.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Yes, Monday, 1 o'clock is the NHL trade deadline. We had a trade earlier today. We'll get an update from Riley with Trending Now coming up just in a little bit. It is going to be awesome. Now, the Flames are going to be in Boston, ironically enough. So they're going to be basically set up in a hotel. So we'll find out. If the Flames do anything, we'll have direct access to them. So that is kind of cool. Peter and Derek will be there, obviously. Everything's in play. And the NHL trade deadline coverage is brought to you by Adrenaline Source for Sports. The midwinter hockey sale is on now. Huge markdowns on skates, sticks, and equipment. You can always check them out at 9309 McLeod Trail South. Now, if something happens beforehand, we'll have it as well. That's just the way we're going to do things around here. Eric Francis Fridays is next right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch on a game day here on Hockey Central at noon. Flames and Boston Bruins pregame at 6, play-by-play at 7. Time for Eric Francis Fridays. We just heard from him earlier today, but we had a holiday on Monday, so we moved him to Friday, and here he is again for the Beltliner, 243 12th Avenue in the Southwest, a modern diner. They got takeout after 4 o'clock. It's great for breakfast. It's good for brunch, lunch, dinner, whatever you want to do. It's awesome. The food is always great there. Eric, I guess we should get your comments on what happened about an hour ago as the Boston Bruins do a trade with the Anaheim Ducks, and I think they get one of those guys that a few teams had on their radar. Andre Kasha has been a player that's got lots of potential, does have some injury problems, but boy, if he can play, that is some nice depth for the Bruins.
Yeah, it's a steep price. I mean, I don't think many people thought that first-round draft picks were going to be thrown around for anyone other than Chris Kreider. But it shows you how, I mean, the pickings are so slim right now that those few that are still remaining as rentals that are out on the market are now commanding even more of a price tag than I think anyone even fathomed. So it's a nice piece. You know, Cash has always had injury problems throughout his short career. But a piece that I actually thought would have been a nice fit in Calgary as well. Like so many of these, you know, right wingers that are going out right now that, you know, could be a good fit with the Flames. But, you know, again, it's not about the Flames. It's about, you know, what the Bruins went and did. I think that this pretty much signals that the Bruins are not in for Chris Kreider. And that's significant. I don't know.
Yeah, what that means. That was going to be my second question. So what now with him? Like, where does he go maybe?
I don't know. I mean, there's still talk that they're trying to re-sign him, but I just think it's ridiculous. If the Rangers do anything but trade Chris Kreider, I think that's just a massive mistake. You can sell him off and then re-sign him in the summer. If he really likes it that much in New York, go get an asset for him, a significant set of assets, and then re-sign him in the summer. And I know there's always a risk that he falls in love with wherever he goes or wins a cup and then he doesn't want to leave, but at the end of the day, he's a UFA. If he really wants to go back to New York, the ball's in his court. So I can't imagine that they won't trade him. But maybe this is signaling that they're not going to trade him, or their asking price is so high because he's really the only gem left out there of all the rentals. To me, he's the only guy. You know, even when the list came out months ago, the list has been out forever. But when you start paying attention to who's available, Chris Kreider's been, you know, at the top of that list, and he's the only one worth a first rounder. Is Andre Kasha worth a first rounder? No, not at all to me. But that's the asking price if you want to add a significant piece. So,
well, they take back his back a little bit too. So there's a little bit more to that than that, right?
For sure, yeah. It's a good point. But the Bruins are retaining some of Backus' salary, but they're also dumping the most of it. It's an interesting trade, but. The Bruins getting better or adding depth is a scary thought because I think they're already the best team in the National Hockey League. You know, they're right there with the Tampa Bays in the world. And to add a significant piece, it's just an answer to what Tampa Bay just did when they had Blake Coleman earlier in the week.
Well, yeah, and I was thinking, so you're going to go to Toronto and be on the Sportsnet trade deadline panel. We're going to have all kinds of guys doing extra shifts and getting ready. Are we all just going to be staring at each other talking about what might happen? Because sometimes, you know, it can be busy. Sometimes there could be a frenzy. Sometimes there's a bunch of small deals. But, you know, do you think there's going to be anything major happen, or do you think it's going to be maybe a non-event that even more so than in past years?
Hard to say. I mean, the thing is, the possibility of something happens is what has everybody still glued to it, whether anything happens or not. The amount of people in play to me is so small. And it's so hard to make a hockey deal at this time of year with the salary cap the way it is and, you know, all the contenders being right up against it. And the Flames have a little bit of wiggle room. I still do think the Calgary Flames are going to make a hockey deal. I think that there's some significant pressure that Brad Treliving is putting on himself. And I think from within, too, I think the players are looking at him going, look, you know, we've battled hard to stay in this race despite all the garbage that's been going on, you know, around this team, on and off the ice. There's been a lot of, I don't know if I should call it adversity, but a lot of distractions. And this team has obviously not lived up to expectations, but they're still right there. And I think that you owe it to the team to give them a little bit of a hand up. And I think in this case, that means making a hockey trade. Because I don't think anybody, you tell me, Kelly, you talk to a lot of people as you are. I've yet to find many people who think that the Calgary Flames should even entertain the possibility of giving up anything of significance to make this team just a little bit better.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to rentals. I don't think anybody's on board with a pricey rental. If it's a hockey trade that can help them next year as well, that's different. And I think that's what they're looking at.
Well, I just think those rentals just, you know, history proves to us that they don't normally work. They don't do what you want, and you have to give so much up. And, you know, then you run the risk of the guy getting hurt or the chemistry problem not being right. I think the Flames really got to look at the back end, whether it's a waiver claim, something, right? Because they're just going to need some depth. You know, they're about 50-50 to make the playoffs, most things I see, right? So if they make the playoffs, they're going to need more than the guys that they have. It's just that the games are that much tougher and you run out of players that much more. So I would be shocked if the GM doesn't do something to address some depth on the blue line, some guys that got some NHL experience that that can take some minutes here and there.
I'd have to look again. It's been about a week since I looked at it, what Zach Bogosian's cap hit is. And I know the players probably have enough room to snag him off waivers if they wanted to. And that would be an easy one, but that would probably preclude them from doing some of the other things that new cap space has opened up. So that's one I think some people are asking, geez, would the Flames be interested in a Zach Bogosian? I mean, he's fallen far in terms of his
really
stock value since he was drafted. What was he, a top five draft pick?
Yeah.
But an interesting possibility if you don't think you can make any other moves, you get him for free other than cap space, which is not free.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. You throw waivers out there, and I think that's who you were alluding to. That's a interesting one. But again, hockey deals, you know, they're so much easier to make in the off season. And I do think that this Flames team, if they fall short of expectations, I've been saying for months now, if they don't win at least one round in the playoffs, or Lord help, if they don't even make the playoffs, there's going to be significant changes to this organization from the core moving outward. So then you would do that in the summer. So you don't want to waste too many bullets now, you know, because you may have to use a lot of them in the summer too. So
yeah,
interesting, interesting.
The frustrating part for people watching this team is because you just never know what you're going to get. And it's not even from game to game. Sometimes it's period to period where it's like what is happening here? And then you see the offense kick in, and you see the guys play really good defensively and the penalty kill. It is, you know, with all the adversity and all the inconsistency, and there they are in a wild card.
Yeah, and, you know, just having a long chat today with Jeff Ward, he's fully of the belief that this adversity, all these obstacles, these hurdles, these distractions that this team has had to deal with this year are going to serve them well.
Make you stronger,
right?
At a time
like this, yeah. You know, last year, as we all know, they didn't face much adversity at all. And the last 20 games of the season, they basically mailed it in, and it was hard to kind of take it up a gear when it was time for the playoffs. Well, now, to get into the playoffs, as we all know, they're going to have to take it up a level or two, and then they'll be battle-tested by the time they get into the playoffs. The one thing that, you know, I think generally speaking, people are quite down on this team, which is, I think it's a perception issue that even the GM tried to attack the other day and say, hey, listen, since, you know, he cited a date, November 20th, we're the eighth best team in the NHL and second in the West. And
You know, people are comparing year to year, right? That's what fans do.
Yeah, and preseason, the expectations were so high, and they've had to be modified now. I don't think there are many people in this city who think that this team is a contender right now. I don't think anybody thinks that. At the beginning of the season, I think people thought they were. But I'll tell you this. When you really look at it, if they finish top three in the Pacific, which I think they will, they've got more than a 50-50 chance of winning that first round, because they'll be, you know, they have winning records against Edmonton, Vancouver, Arizona. If these are any of the teams that they're going to play in the first round, I like their chances. And then maybe if you're on a bit of a roll, then you've had to play well to get into the playoffs. Then you've won a round. There's no reason why you couldn't continue that momentum into the conference final. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but all I'm saying is it's not that, you know, people are down on this team, but it's really not inconceivable that they could still be a top four or top eight team by the end of this season. And, it takes a little bit of stretching the imagination to think about that. But when you think about it logically, I do think that there's a very real chance. So people shouldn't be as down on this team as they are. They're just shocked at the inconsistency. That's just really hard to swallow.
It's hard to watch it sometimes, and then it's got to watch because you just want to know what's going to happen next. The only team that sort of scares me as a potential opponent for the Calgary Flames is Las Vegas. Watched that game last night on Sportsnet, and it looks like the plan is starting to come together. It's starting to look like that old Vegas team that can roll four lines, and they're getting the goaltending again. It's like, Eric, I think the Golden Knights, and we know how tough it's been in Vegas for the Flames. That's the one team I'm sure interested in. They got a bunch of home games coming up here. They've got a bunch of divisional games like the Flames do. But, you know, we talk about the big road trip coming up. I think maybe it's more of a case of in the first part of March, you have the Flames take on Arizona at home and then Vegas at home, kind of on a Friday, Sunday sort of thing. That might be the one that, you know, we're circling all kinds of dates, but that one might be the one we really have to circle.
Yeah, they're all big. I mean, who would have thought you know, at the beginning of the year that a late season game against Arizona would be enticing, but, you know, forever is there an enticing game against Arizona, but this one will be when it comes up in the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, their schedule, what, in the next 8 days, they play Boston twice, Tampa once, and then I don't think it's too far after that that they have Tampa again. The Calgary Flames, you know, one of the concerning issues right now is the fact that they just played a bunch of patsies that should have been free spots on the bingo card, and they didn't make hay in those games. They lost to the likes of Chicago and some of the teams that you shouldn't be losing to. That's very concerning for fans, because now you're playing against some of the best teams, and you can't possibly expect this team to do really well against the Tampas and the Bostons right now. Boston's lost one game in their last 11. Tampa's lost, what, three in their last 29 or something like that? It's just insane. And anyway, they're good measuring sticks, and I agree with you. Vegas is the one team that the Calgary Flames, you know, I think the odds of them beating Vegas are going to be very slim, especially considering they can never win in Vegas, and you kind of have to win a game in their building if they're going to win a series. So, I, you know, as long as they don't play Vegas in the first round, then the Calgary Flames do have a real good chance at winning a first-round matchup. But, again, they got to get there first.
So, Eric, when you we talked about that you're going to Toronto and you're going to be on the panel for Sportsnet on Monday. Now, as a columnist who, you know, we're in the, obviously, the internet age and things change very quickly, especially with the trade deadline, how do you approach writing your stuff for Sportsnet.ca without it, you know, becoming dated in a second? What are you working on in the next couple of days for folks to look at?
Well, you know, right now we're all kind of on high alert for, you know, a significant trade to, from the Flames camp, and then it's all hands on deck to analyze that trade and see where, you know, how it all shook down. But yeah, right now it's it kind of seems like reinventing the wheel. Like I just put out a primer for the trade deadline. You know, what the Flames need, what they're looking for, what are the possibilities, you know, what the free agent status is for their UFAs, their RFAs, all that stuff. And I just posted that. And you know, people are still consuming that at a high rate. And I thought it was interesting yesterday, Sean Monahan talking about how tight a team it is. He says it's the tightest team he's been a part of in 7 years here in Calgary. The question is, can that cohesiveness translate to success on the ice? So far this year, it's been, you know, okay, but you know, and what does the GM do? Does he risk disrupting that by making any significant trade, or does he disrupt, does he anger the guys by not giving them some support? There's a lot of different things that are going through Tree Living's mind right now, and I kind of wrote about that the other day too. But yeah, all weekend long from now on, it's just, if something happens, we got to react to it right away, and that's kind of how you handle it. And then in terms of how you handle 10 hours of trade deadline coverage when there's not much to report on, check with me on Tuesday and I'll let you know how that goes. That'll be new to me. It's funny. I've watched those trade deadline shows here many years and said, thank God I'm not one of those guys on the panel when there's not much going on, because you're sitting there working the phones and not much to talk about. But hey, there's always stuff to talk about. We got a real interesting group of people that are going to be in studio with me, you know, from Bruce Boudreau to Biz Nasty. He's not going to be in studio, but we're checking in with him via Skype. You know, Kevin Bieksa, Chris Versteeg, there are going to be a lot of different voices, Brian Burke, that are going to be chiming in on a lot of different things. And I'll tell you one thing that was interesting in the show that I did this morning on your station. You know, we were talking a little bit about the possibility of Carey Price going, you know, to the Colorado Avalanche. And, you know, there's just a little bit of smoke there, and I haven't read much about it, heard much about it, but I do understand Bergevin has spent some time in Colorado of late. And hey, we've seen that game play out before where a high-powered goalie from Montreal does go to Colorado. It works out pretty well for Colorado.
One of the teams,
anyway.
Yeah. Not so much for the other guy. There's no way they're trading him, and I don't think Colorado could afford him with the stuff they got coming up. No way.
I'm just saying, if you want to win a championship, you got to do it with a championship goalie, and Carey Price is that in everybody's eyes. I don't know if Grubauer is. He's so injury-prone, but all I'm saying is I had two different people in the hockey world that heard me talking about it, and both of them unsolicited, completely unsolicited, said, there's not just, you know, there's something to this. There could be something to this. And these are people that are involved with teams in the league that know behind the scenes what's going on. I'm not sitting here saying that this is definitely going to happen.
Okay.
But since we're all in the game of just reporting what we hear and see, I'm just telling you that two people reached out to me to say, hey, you know, don't be surprised if this has a little more legs than people want to give it credit for. I don't think Montreal would be crazy to trade Carey Price because the haul you'd get for him would be massive. It can really turn your franchise.
Oh, my God. Would that be a story on Monday? My head would explode. I would just be like, yeah. Oh, my God. Let's get more pizza. Let's talk to midnight. You know, whatever it takes, right? Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's the kind of trade we'd all get excited about. Yeah. Whether you have a horse in the race or not,
oh, yeah.
You're a fan of either team, doesn't matter. That's the kind of stuff that gets, you know, that's good for the league when you have big names like that going.
All right, Eric. Well, you know, we'll be watching you on TV and see what happens. And then are you going on this road trip or no, or parts of it, or what's the plan?
I'm going on the rest of the road trip. I'm going to go to Toronto for the deadline coverage, and then that night I'm flying to Boston, and then I'll be with the team right to the end. And then I'm staying in Florida afterwards to cover the GM meetings for 4 days in Boca Raton. So
I know
no one's going to feel sorry for me, but it's going to be a long road trip.
Well, we can,
and a lot of interesting things.
We'll be picking your brain for sure a whole bunch. Well, we appreciate it. Thanks so much, Eric, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, enjoy the game tonight, buddy.
You don't. There's Eric Francis. Eric Francis Fridays brought to you by the Beltliner, 243 12th Avenue in the Southwest. What a great modern diner. Now they do takeout 4 to 10 p.m. You get breakfast. Their breakfast is what they're known for, but I go over for lunch all the time. It's really good. Dinner as well, right in the heart of the Beltline. So Eric Francis comes to us every Friday. He's going to be a busy guy. All right, I have totally screwed up the timing of this particular program. I think we got to get rid of Brian Brick. We're not going to have time for it, Riles. Sorry. I'm going to blame you, but I can't because it was all my fault. But that's okay. You know what? It's trade deadline and stuff's happening, so that's the way she goes. What's Pat got on his show? I mean, obviously, it's game day, so there's that.
Yeah, there's some trade talk for sure, it looks like. I've only got the first hour of the show so far.
There's no way they're trading Carey Price to Colorado.
I mean,
there's no chance that's happening.
I've been outed by Pat as a Habs fan on the show, so I'm okay. If they get a good haul from Colorado or something like that for Carey Price, I'm
ready
to let
him
go.
I mean, you need like a haul among, like, massive.
At least two first-round picks, a top prospect, and an already NHLer.
And a little bit more, I think. I think you need one more player in that.
But I'm ready to let him go chase a cup now, I think. Caden Primo, it's your time.
You're insane. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, we'll get to it. Ryan joins at 2 o'clock. Our pregame show goes at 6. And by the way, we've got lots of hockey. We've got the Hitmen in Vancouver, a bit of a conflict, so we have it on our alternate stream. So that's at 8 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, the BC road trip wraps up in Kamloops as the Hitmen take on the Kamloops Blazers. Matty Rose will be around 6 o'clock with the big pregame show. And no matter what, if Carey Price gets traded to the Colorado Avalanche, I assure you we'll be on it. I will call everybody, you know, hey, guess what? You know, we're doing this. So, and if the Flames do something minor, major, whatever, we're all over it. So that's happening, man. This is, I think it's going to be a neat day. I think it's going to be a neat day on Monday. All right, we'll take a break. And Pat's ready to go next right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.